right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Suska.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Mark Susnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Thanks for joining in. And I want to remind you that every week I have somebody who I consider a cutting-edge thought leader, somebody who is going to give us a new way of looking at our life, somebody that hopefully can inspire us, can get us to think about things. And I have somebody this week who I consider a cutting-edge thought leader, somebody that's in an area that I've always been intrigued by, is singing. I've always wanted to sing, and I want to tell you a little bit about Raz Kennedy. He's in the realm of vocal performance and singing instruction. Raz Kennedy has created a legacy of over 40 years that rivals the music industry's finest. Acknowledged as the premier vocal coach in the Bay Area by Narada Walden, multi-platinum Grammy and Emmy-winning producer and musician, Raz Kennedy is a veteran music educator, producer, and vocalist devoted to the pursuit of excellence. His eclectic performance credits include serving as a founding member of the internationally acclaimed Bobby McFerrin's Voice Sistra and performing as a background vocalist and recording for many legendary artists, including Whitney Houston, Al Jarreau, Kenny Loggins, as well as on stage for Sting, Santana, and Mickey Hart. And I could go on and on and on about who he is and who he's taught and the different faculties and music schools and universities that he belongs to. But rather than do that, I want to welcome Raz Kennedy. So, Raz, thank you so much for being my guest.
I'm flattered that you would think to invite me, and I appreciate the introduction. I'm excited to be talking with you.
Me too. And you know, I started to say something off air, and actually when I introduced you, I think everybody secretly wants to be able to sing. And so many people have this idea that, you know, I can't sing because somebody said something to them when maybe they were a kid, oh, you have a terrible voice. But I would be surprised if there's anybody out there that hasn't sung in the shower. I mean, everybody hums and singing. And I actually, when I thought about what I'd call this show, I came up with this idea as your voice, as a window to your soul. And I kind of, in a way, think about it in that way. And I was wondering what comes to you about that idea. Do you think of it in the same way as your voice, what your voice is?
Well, I mean, the voice certainly is a tool we use as a way to communicate to someone what it is that matters to us. We do it in everyday interactions when just simply speaking with someone. We use the voice as a way to help get across what matters to us with the hopes that it'll matter to whoever is on the receiving end. You want it to matter to them as much as it matters to you. So we use the voice all the time, just not even where we're speaking language, but just making sounds. You know, you might groan, you might cry, you might laugh, you might sigh, and in all of these ways, what we're displaying is what it is we're feeling. And someone who is listening or is in close proximity begins to feel similarly, so there's empathy. that takes place. And what goes on is that we find ourselves creating bridges between one another through the voice, through the sounds we make, and there's a sense of bond that can take place. So there's connection. So yeah, the voice, when we're just simply speaking or making sounds, kids from the time they're infants, they're making all kinds of crazy sounds in the crib. They'll cry when they need attention for mother's milk. They'll giggle and make creaking sounds when they're humored. So the voice is this way in which we find ourselves telegraphing what's going on, and we also pick up what's going on by listening to others when they're making sounds. It's just the way birds communicate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I see singing as just sort of a more animated, ornate way in which to do the very same thing. I see singing as ornate speech. It's still in the act of singing, in the act of communicating. It's just that you're doing it now in a bit more colorful way, but there's really no difference between when speaking and just everyday conversation. There's no difference between that and when you're singing. And that's, I think, something that people sometimes miss. That, and so in a way, when you're looking at it from that standpoint, it's my opinion that anybody can sing, because most people certainly can use the voice when they're communicating using language or sound. And singing is nothing more than that.
So then you're saying anybody can sing?
Yeah, because in a way, everybody
is singing. So why is it so many people say, I can't sing?
Well, because they have an idea about what singing is that misses the mark. You know, they
uh-huh.
make singing be about something that is really completely erroneous. You know, we've done something in the arts that goes way, way back. There was a time when in societies everybody just sang. There was no separation between the singer and the person that's doing the listening. A listener would also sing. Singing was something everybody just did as a cultural activity. And then at some point along the way, they started fragmenting that kind of dynamic in culture where, okay, now these people are going to be the ones that do the singing, and then you people over here are the listeners. And so things got fragmented that way. There was a kind of a dichotomy. It took place a kind of a schism when all of a sudden
uh-huh.
singing and the arts became something other than just simple communicative activity for anyone. And we see ourselves operating out of that same premise today. So, yeah, so now we're made to think that singing is this thing over here for only some people, and then the rest of us, well, nah, you don't really, you're not, you know, you don't qualify. So,
it's that idea of judgment, right? We always, as you know, I have a new book out in my The Soul of Uncertainty, and my premise is that there's always this uncertainty in our life because we're always wondering, am I good enough? This idea, am I good enough? And I think singing in a lot of the arts, what I think inhibits some people from putting themselves out there is that feeling, am I good enough? Is it good enough? There's so many people out there that are so great, especially some of the people you've worked with. I mean, you've worked with some of the legends that if anybody looks at your bio on your website, it's amazing some of the people that you've worked with. And yet a lot of people want to sing just for fun, and they're intimidated when they get around people that are these legends. And so what do you say to them? What do you say to people that think, well, I can never really be good at it?
Well, what people are doing in a case like that is they're comparing themselves. They're making singing mean only being able to sound like a Whitney Houston or a Barbara Streisand or a Renee Fleming. I mean, if that were true, then how do you explain somebody like a James Hetfield of Metallica or a Tom Waits or a Mick Jagger, who certainly sound quite different, but yet
mm-hmm.
have huge audiences. So what it is that it's you know, generally what people confuse great singing with is it comes down to taste, you know, and that's something else, you know. So there's going to be some people that love Mick Jagger's voice and some people that think that it's not singing, it's yelling, and it doesn't quite measure up to their opinion of singing. That's taste. Some people really enjoy Tom Waits. Other people just can't stand a voice like that and would never consider that as legitimate. So, again, it's about taste. The bottom line that makes anybody a great singer, the reason why a Whitney Houston or a Renee Fleming are great, why they're legendary, is because regardless of how they might sound, the bottom line is that they connect. When they sing, they communicate. When they sing, we feel something. That's what makes a singer a great singer, which is why a Mick Jagger, who has a completely different voice, or a Janis Joplin, the reason that they're as great as a Whitney Houston is that when they sing, you believe them. And there's a sense of connection that takes place. That's what you use as a way to measure the value of a great singer. That's what we use as a way to define what a great singer is. And that's the thing that you have to always stay in touch with.
So this sense of connection, where do
you... In my training, when I'm working with singers, that's where I'm always referencing from that premise. You know, when I'm working with a punk rock singer, you know, I'm not going to tell him that, well, what you do is really, you know, not legitimate because it doesn't sound like Pavarotti or Whitney Houston. No. If I were to mess with his sound and try to modify what he's doing, he would completely alienate those that connect with who he is and what he has to say. So I train singers first and foremost to achieve what it is they want to do in the way they want to do it. But in so doing, I do it so that they keep their voices safe and they're doing whatever they're doing in a healthy way. It's my opinion that every sound that can be made, regardless of what it is, can be done in a way where you can keep the voice safe. A lot of times people will hear a sound like, ah, no, baby.
Right.
They'll hear a sound like fat, and by the quality of that sound, by the nature of it, they automatically think, oh, my God, that singer's going to damage their voice. When, in fact, if you know how to do it with the right approach and with the skills, you can do that night after night after night after night, year, decade after decade, and never find yourself compromising the health of the voice. And there's just too many examples in popular culture that demonstrate that fact, that illustrate that fact. I mean, are you going to tell Tina Turner that she should not sing the way she decides to sing with distortion, or Ray Charles, or Rod Stewart, or James Hetfield? No. And there's ways to make any sound where if you understand what's going on and how to approach it with the correct skill approach, you can make any sound at all and do it in a way where you can also keep the voice healthy. So that's, I think sometimes people feel, well, I can't sing because if they don't sound like how somebody thinks one should sound when they sing, then they're told that they can't sing. Rather than finding their voice and discovering what it is they do, and by doing so, finding a way to bridge between themselves and others so that there's connection.
So I want to kind of come back to a couple of things you said. One is what you just said about finding your voice. But the other is when you talked about what you feel what makes a singer great is his ability to connect with people that listen. Where does that come from? Where does that ability to connect, where does that come from?
The ability to connect begins first with you dropping into what matters to you in the most profound way. Like, in other words, it's only going to matter to someone else. Someone's not going to really find some way to feel like it's relevant unless it's first of all somehow resonating with you in a real authentic way. And the other thing, too, is to, when singing, keeping in mind who it is you're singing to or speaking to. It's just like in conversation. It's like keeping in mind who it is you're talking to. When I'm talking to you, I want to keep in mind what it is that might matter to you, what might resonate in a way where it seems relevant. So I'm getting in touch with what matters to me, and I'm trying to say it in a way where you can also find how it somehow seems relevant and pertinent in your life. And that's where it all begins. It's about listening. First of all, singing and most anything, it requires that you have a real understanding of how to listen. So you have to listen for what's going on outside yourself, as to how others feel, what they're saying. And then you have to also be in touch with how you feel. So you're listening for, like, what matters to you. And by listening, I mean listening to what things feel like, how you sense the body kinesthetically, what's going on. There's certain sensations that you get in touch with. You get in touch with certain ways of how you might imagine things, as well as how you hear things. And you're doing that both from within and from without. And then that's how communication is possible. It takes, first of all, a skill in knowing how to listen. And like I say, it's not just listening with the ears, but it's listening with all of your senses.
Mm-hmm. So how do people get a hold of you? If they want to, you teach people privately. You also teach at a few local music schools. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, I've got a website, www.razkennedy.com. There, you can just get a full description of who I am, what I do, where I've been, how I work. I've been doing this in the Bay Area since 1980. So at this stage in the game, I've been around so long, it's almost like I'm kind of a fixture. People just know me just simply because I've been here for decades at this point. So, but again, I have a website, and that's easily accessible online.
And what I'm curious about is, what would you say has been one of your most rewarding experiences with as teaching what you do with your work? So is there like a high point that you could say, wow, when I worked with so-and-so, this just moved me?
Well,
is there a high point for you?
The high point for me in every instance is somehow tied to the moniker of your radio show, which speaks to possibilities. And it's just that somebody walks in, and it takes a lot of courage for someone to come into the studio because they may have felt restrained or inhibited, but yet something is calling, something deep within is calling in spite of all of their anxieties and fears about really allowing themselves to open. So what turns me on is when people, through our interaction, have this glimpse of how there are possibilities, that, wow, I actually can do this, or my goodness, I would have never thought that this was something I could achieve or experience. I love it when people get a glimpse of like what they may have felt was unachievable, see that it is achievable. So that's really why I teach. Honest to God, that is it. And I have committed my... Yeah, there's a breakthrough. You begin to see, oh, where I couldn't do something, I can. And so that, in every encounter that I have, is where I experience a high point, and it doesn't matter what it is or who it is. It can be a beginning singer that never ever uttered a tone, and then all of a sudden they realize that, oh, I can, or I can sustain a note, or I can hit this high pitch, or I can create some kind of a interesting effect with my voice. I can say something in a way where I can feel my heart tremor, or my, you know, my eyes well up and there's tears all of a sudden dropping down my cheek, or I get goosebumps, you know, when you start to feel the excitement in being able to emote and let something occur, allowing something to come through that has been locked in, or just seeing how you can have an effect on someone else in a way where you can really inspire another or trigger an emotion. I mean, that's, and it doesn't matter who it is. It can be a Grammy Award winning artist, or like I say, someone who's just trying to discover what singing is all about. Just that moment is just yes. And I spend my life trying to explore ways to be more skilled at making that possible for people, being a conduit for that.
I want to say to our listeners, I've actually experienced Raz's work, and he's amazing. And what he just said is what I felt, is that he gets excited about you having breakthroughs in your life. And I like to ask people about my guests about what inspires them. And I haven't asked you that, but I think you've already answered it. In terms of your work, inspires you to see these breakthroughs in people's life, and I think also when you see a breakthrough in one area of your life, you can start to see it in other areas because you start to let go of your limiting beliefs. And I think that's really what my work is about, is to really look at one's life and say what holds us back is not our innate talent or our skill, but it's our beliefs about what's possible for us. And I think that as we start to break through in one area of our life, it opens up a whole new world. And I think in your work, you're doing the same thing. You're kind of in a way waking people up to what's possible. And I think that when they achieve new levels in their ability to express themselves through sound and their voice, that they think of themselves in a different way. What's your sense of that? I mean, I bet you agree with me.
I do agree with you. Here's the deal. And the deal is that, you know, in my journey, you know, working through my own limitations and barriers, I've had those kinds of people that have been there helping me in just that way. So I have so many examples that I can draw from where when I felt incapable or inept, there were people there that helped me to see how there was a way to achieve something that I never thought possible. And, you know, I think about, Jane Sharp, Bobby McFerrin. These were great teachers. George Coates, Molly Holm, Seth Riggs, and then, you know, Catherine Sadlin, who is a genius. People who have really helped me see how, you know, Narda Michael Walden, just these inspired souls that really had the vision to and the abandonment and just the boldness to just move beyond perceived, you know, boundaries. And they were examples for me. I have so many, and I've been blessed, Andy Norrell. I mean, just so many people, Larry Batiste. The list is so long, and I just feel that I'm just passing that along to the people that I encounter that need that same kind of encouragement. And then also when you have real tools, real practical effective ways that definitely make a difference. You know, it's not just pie in the sky, but there's been a lot of people who've done the research. Again, like, you know, Joe Estill, Catherine Sadlin, Jeanette Lovitre. These people have taken the time to really research how the voice works, the mechanics of it, why a singer over here can get a sound out without there being any hindering or tensions or uncontrolled constrictions. Why is it working over here, but then for this singer it's not working? Well, they've teased this apart in a way where they've understood how the voice works and have found ways to really help people understand it and also to be able to help others understand it. So you've got all of these incredibly enlightened people in the world who really care. They care about being free. They know how liberating it can be when you can express yourself in a way where your communication is clear. There's something about that that creates connection, and that's what gives us a way to feel like we belong and that we're together, that we're not alone, and that we're acknowledged. You know, we can be seen, and then others can be seen by us. It creates community. These people care, and they know that through the arts, these types of connections and community building can be reinforced and advanced. And so I've just had all of these incredibly inspired people, you know, Pollyanna Bush, I mean, Jessica Horley, just so many people. It's just been amazing. Jerry Harrison, and I'm just blessed.
So let me, Raz,
the opportunity to be with these people.
Yeah.
And so I'm just passing it on.
I just want to save enough time here because we're running out of time to tell us you have a show coming up. You want to tell us about that? And I'd like to hear about it.
Well, the main thrust for why I'm doing this show is because for well over 20 years, I have not done my own thing. I've only been featured where I've shared the stage with others. I've been doing a lot of work in collaboration with others. I've been in ensembles. I haven't done my own thing since the 80s, where it's my thing, where I'm holding down front and center all alone. I, for a number of reasons, pushed that by the boards and just felt like that wasn't for me. And my job was to be more of a support person, more of the guy behind the scenes cheering others on and helping others further their dreams. I've got an important person in my life that has really helped me see that part of me still needs to have voice, you know, and this is another example of really allowing one to step forward. So I'm doing that for myself through presenting this show on September 9th in Berkeley at the Freight and Salvage. I'll be doing my own songs, and then I'll be doing songs that I've always loved. I'm going to do a wide range of styles. I've been influenced by so many different genres of music and different artists. So this will be the first time in 20 years where I'm doing my own thing, and I have to really thank my manager who encouraged me to see how this was something that needed to happen, and she's absolutely right. So I'll be doing a range of styles, rock, country, blues. I'll be doing R&B, jazz, some world music. I'll be doing some original stuff. And I've got an incredible band. I've got Victoria Theodore. She's my music director. She's been in a range of incredible projects. She was touring with Stevie Wonder for about 6 years. She was Beyonce's keyboard player in Beyonce's last tour, the Formation tour. She's a good friend, and she's handling the music directing role for me. I've got Matthew Hewlett on guitar, Dave Tweedy on drums, Kai Eckhart, he's a badass, he's on bass, and I've got these incredible two background vocals that I've worked with in the past. Me and Sandy Griffith, she'll be one of my singers. We perform together, singing backgrounds for Sting and for Marilyn McCoo. We've worked together with Narda Michael Walden. She's incredible. She's had a great career singing for a range of different artists, both on record and live. And then Leah Ticey will also be performing for me, doing background vocals. She's a great local singer. She's been in a bunch of projects. She's involved with Ray Oviedo right now with a project that he and she are doing.
So
the band is killer, and we'll be doing music from we'll be doing Led Zeppelin to John Coltrane, from
right.
that to AC/DC to Prince to Jimi Hendrix to Marvin Gaye and Maxwell, all the way into Chris Stapleton.
This sounds great.
Doing. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds great. I'm going to come. I'm going to be there. I hope everybody listening can come.
Yeah.
That are in the Bay Area and Berkeley, the Freight and Salvage. Our guest today has been Raz Kennedy, who's an amazing human being.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com. And click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.